Morning, Dennis. How are you doing? What did you think of Leighton Smith's interview with John Banks day before yesterday?
Good morning, Grant.
Morning.
Look, it's just I'm probably a bit older than those guys, but I sort of thought they were just a couple of old guys letting themselves go.
Not much. He's 70, nearly 80, John Banks, 76 or something, and you're not much older.
They're sort of living, he's living his glory days, if you know what I mean, seems to me. And I listened to it, but I couldn't stick with it till right to the end. I think I dumped the last 5 minutes.
Do you think so? Or do you think he really loves New Zealand and he knows his days are numbered and he loves New Zealand? Do you think that? I mean, that's what I got out of it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what I have to say to that is, what's to love? I mean, New Zealand's not.
No,
what
no, he loves what we had. He hates what we've got.
Yeah, well, so do I. I think that New Zealand is basically stuck.
It's buggered.
And I think that there's very little chance of coming back. And the reason for that is that ordinary New Zealanders have gone out and voted for what we've got. And, you know, they voted for Jacinda. And look at Jacinda. Jacinda has become the world's voice.
She's jumped ship.
But get that. I remember. I did watch the news. She came in as the buddy heroine, mainly voted for because she's sort of a big smile. Mm. But, I mean, she is now the sort of world authority on restricting freedom of speech.
Yes.
Not she's not just one of the girls. She's the girl who's pushing in the United Nations for restrictions and elsewhere for restrictions on freedom of speech.
To stop people like you and I talking together on the radio.
Right. So that's it's a very, very basic. So that's Jacinda Ardern. So I never voted for her, you have to know that. I might have patted her on the ass in a coffee bar or something late at night.
You'll get locked up for that. Not allowed to do that these days.
I'm just being facetious.
What she needs is a bloody good stock whip on the ass. That's what she wants. That's what she's calling for.
The way that John Banks talks about New Zealand is true, but a bit old-fashioned, I thought. And so New Zealanders have consistently voted for stupid. And, you know, there's no sign that they're going to stop.
That's because we are stupid.
No sign at all.
We are stupid.
So I don't hold out much hope. You see, but the other thing about that is that I don't give a shit. And the reason I don't give a shit is because I'm 82 years old and I'm not going to be here much longer. And like,
you said that 10 years ago. You said I'm not going to be here much longer 10 years ago. Look at you now; you're still here.
I'm going to be right sometime, don't I?
Oh, I don't know. Your doctors are like scratching their heads, figuring out what's wrong. How come Dennis is still alive? What can we give him?
It is a bit like that. It makes me smile a bit.
Yeah, it's good. That's great.
But New Zealanders will vote for them, you know, for stupid every time. Mm. And so, you know, the government people will give them stupid. And because, you know, I mean, it's a democracy after all. And if people want stupid, they get stupid.
Democracy's evil, isn't it? Because you import all these weirdos and you end up having a weird... They vote for stupid shit because you've imported them. Because that's what democracy is. It's you vote. It's the majority. Might is right, isn't it? It's the majority wins. So if you've got a whole lot of, you know, Muslims imported into the country, you know, you could end up having Sharia law because that's democracy.
Well, we were working really hard on. 10-15 years ago, we were working really hard on that.
Yeah, we need a constitution to stop democracy from getting out of control.
Well, yes, we do. But you know, New Zealanders have got to wake up. But you know, the other problem we've got in New Zealand is the media.
Yeah,
you know, the media specialise in lies and nonsense.
They're as woke as hell, aren't they? They're crazy people. What does woke mean, Dennis? What does woke mean? Do you know?
The precise meaning of woke is you believe in stupid.
Yeah. Donald Trump said woke is you're a loser. That's what it means. Woke means you're a loser.
Well, yeah. Gee, and they're going by the news tonight. Looks like they've cornered him on financial stuff.
I know. So, that's a bit frightening, isn't it? They could take his business off him.
Well, yeah, amazing. And so that's not business interference, that's election interference.
Yep.
Because they're desperate to stop him getting elected. But America is, and you know, talk about sovereignty, like what's the name was talking about, sovereignty. America's going to lose its sovereignty if they go along with us.
Yes.
Because what it means is that the left can manipulate people to be able to push for what they want. And they shouldn't be able to do that. They should be on equal terms with the other side.
It's hard to believe that we've allowed people that should be relegated to the mental asylum to run our world at the moment. Our world is being run by people that should be in a mental asylum. And it's not just New Zealand, eh? It's the Western world. It's been run by halfwits. Look at America. Biden. I mean, he's dementia man. You and I could run America better than he could.
Yep. Joe Biden. But mind you, once they've elected him, they're stuck with him.
Mm.
That's the system.
So it's obviously not him running it; it's other people running it.
There will be other people influencing it all. I think that happens all the time with presidents, anyway.
Sorry, I sidetracked you. So what about Leighton Smith with his interview with John Banks? I've spoke to a guy who's very intelligent, very bright property developer, and he'd done a job for John Banks years ago. He didn't find him a particularly intelligent man.
Well, I thought that John Banks got a great grasp of buzzwords and buzz phrases.
Yeah, do you think that's all it is? There's no depth to him.
And he used quite a few of them while he was talking. So he's still trying to talk the same language as he talked when he was trying to get to be the mayor of Auckland.
Yeah, so you think he's not that bright, he just uses buzzwords. He's just practiced.
I thought that he was... Look, I'm an old guy. I know a lot of old guys. I know that my grasp of things is not as good as what it was.
Mm.
And I reckon that his grasp of things is not as good as what it was there. And I just see parallels between him and me. And there's a sort of a cognitive decline that you have when you're getting older.
Leighton seemed to really enjoy what he was saying, didn't he?
Leighton would have been pleased to have him there.
Mm.
Because, Leighton Smith sort of got sidelined by News Talk ZB and started doing those podcasts.
It's still part of News Talk ZB. He's not been sacked or anything.
He wouldn't be getting paid what he was before.
Well, he's retired. He's nearly 80.
So he's retired, but he wanted to keep a little bit of the limelight, so he's doing podcasts.
Yeah, but I think he did that just because people probably encouraged him to, and I think he's as surprised as anybody. He's probably more surprised than anybody that they've been so well received.
Yeah, I used to enjoy Leighton Smith. I've never listened to one of his podcasts ever.
You've never, until the one I sent you tonight?
Yeah.
Or last night, rather.
Mm. Yeah, I used to listen to him, but when he lost his job...
He didn't lose his job, he retired.
He just retired.
He didn't lose his job.
That's a detail that my memory doesn't care about or bother about.
He didn't lose his job, he retired. And Mike Hosking took over because Leighton retired. You want to have a break? I tell you, I'm wrong on that. Mike Hosking took over from Paul Holmes. My apologies. Yeah. My mistake. You were wrong.
What was I wrong about again?
Anyway, so what did you think of the whole thing? I mean, I was really impressed with it. I thought it was good. I thought John Banks really shone.
Is that right?
I'm naive.
Look, I could just, all I could hear was a very old guy.
Yeah?
Reliving his glory days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, he was the same buzzword, same sort of...
Well, I appreciate that. You've been around the traps longer than I have.
But you know, the other thing, but you know, what he was doing was telling the big truth that you have to tell, the big truth.
Mm.
And that is that you know, that a lot of the problems in New Zealand emanate out of Maori politics. They just do. And because what Maori politics strive to do is to remove freedoms from everyone else. And gain power for themselves. That's what they do.
Well, he got sacked, you know, didn't he? He got sacked from Magic Talk. Mm-hmm. I think it was Magic Talk because he said Maori are a Stone Age culture. And they are. They were. Until
Of course they
the
are.
Whalers arrived with sharp instruments, metal. They didn't have metal.
Mm. Didn't have metal, didn't have fabric, didn't have pottery.
Didn't have anything to wrap around their baby's ass when it shat all down that side of their mother. What did they put on their babies when they were pooping? They just pooped down the side of the mother and wash it off in the river. How would they do without nappies until we arrived?
They didn't. If the baby looked like it was going to take a crap, just hold it
half an hour away. Yeah, hold it at arm's length. Yeah.
One of the things, New Zealand is never, ever, ever, ever going to be truthful about is pre-European Maori life. Never could tell the truth about it.
They lived in a shithole, didn't they? And they were so pleased when we arrived. Saved them from fear and being eaten.
Look, you know, one of the things, go and look it up. When the Maori signed the Treaty of Waitangi, there were 2,020 or something Europeans in New Zealand.
Yep.
And there are 140,000 Maoris.
Sure, that's a lot, isn't it?
So go back. You can look it up. Just ask Google. The signing of the Treaty of Waitangi, 2,000 Europeans in New Zealand. And you can't say, oh, yeah, but they had guns.
No, they didn't have guns. That came later.
Who? No.
The guns came in 1820.
You can't say, oh, the Maori signed that because the Europeans had guns.
Oh, no, no. Oh, I see what you mean.
That was 1840.
Yeah.
But the Maoris were armed to the teeth.
Well, only from 1820. Do you think they had muskets before 1820?
Well, how could they have the musket wars starting in 1807 if they didn't have muskets?
Oh, yes, true. Yeah, it was only the one up in the north that went over to the UK and ended up buying a whole heap of muskets.
When did the musket wars end? It started in 1807?
1835, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was 3 years before the Treaty of Waitangi.
That's a long time, eh?
And so they were slaughtering each other with guns all that time.
Yeah.
And you know, why would they sign the Treaty of Waitangi with 2,000 people? They needed help to stop the carnage, carnage.
Yep. It was not about a peace treaty between us and them. It was about bringing peace between themselves, and they knew that the British Crown could stop them killing each other.
Well, they probably figured that the British Crown might do that.
Mm.
But, you know, they would be looking, you know, most of them would be looking for a way out of it anyway.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a way out of it doesn't necessarily mean somebody's going to come along with a gun pointed at you and say, don't do that anymore. It's just somebody's provided an excuse to stop the killing, which is what happened. That's the way I read the history.
That makes sense. But the reality
is that the musket wars started in 1807 and they ended in 1837. So 30 years or something. But, you know, so we bullshit about New Zealand history all the time. And, you know, you've got to, we've sort of got to remember what the Europeans actually brought to the country. You know, I don't know whether John Baxter has had to talk about any of that. But, I mean, the Europeans brought civilization. Without the Europeans, there was no civilization. And when there was no civilization, the Maoris were busy slaughtering each other. So civilization made the difference. But, you know, the thing about that was that the average Maori wasn't so stupid that he couldn't see that for what it was.
That's the thing. I think Maori are way more intelligent than today's Maori like to make out. Like, they could see that colonization was incredibly good for them. And, you know, being part of a Western sort of world was their future, and they wanted to be part of that, and they thought, shit, this is better than what we've got. Let's grab it with both hands. But today's Maori they tell a lie. They like to make out that Maori back in the 1800s lived in some kind of a utopia, and we stuffed it up for them when we arrived, which is absolute bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, but you see, the other thing about that, Grant, is they couldn't have done that and got away with that, came to believe that, without the European media.
Well, that's true.
The fawning European media. Mm.
The communists, the Marxists.
Went along with the bullshit.
Yeah.
The communists and the Marxists.
Yeah.
They're
using Maori to deconstruct the Western democracy. What do you call it? It's basically what's the system we live under as far as economic system. It's what do they call it? Shit. Vivek Ravishwamy. He said it just the other day. I was listening to him. What's it called?
This is the American guy going for the presidency.
Yeah. It's Oh shit! It's gone right out of my head. Anyway, so basically, it's a better way to live in than live in a communist. And what's the opposite of communism? What's the
capitalism?
Yeah, right. That's the word I was after. I couldn't think of it. Capitalism is what they want to destroy, and capitalism is really the best thing that ever happened to mankind. It's the best of a bad lot.
Oh. Well, you know, all you've got to do to know about capitalism is go up to the top of Mount Eden in Auckland, have a look at the furrows that have been dug in all the way around Mount Eden, going down in layers.
Mm.
The sort of the battlements. That's Maori culture, and then have a look. Just lift your head and look at the great city in front of you.
Yeah,
that's European culture. That's the difference right there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And so. You know, that's what people will always vote for today, and that is, the basic European culture. The European culture colonized the entire planet, including, I've got to say, China and Russia and Japan. And because, you know, if you sort of stand on a corner in downtown Tokyo, it's pretty much the same as the corner in downtown Auckland.
Yes, I've noticed that the Asians just want to be European. They want to dress like Europeans and behave like Europeans.
Yeah. So you know, we need to cut some of the crap that we talk about ourselves, and we need to stop running ourselves down and whatever.
We need to be proud of who we are.
Absolutely. So we should.
Yeah.
And so we should.
Yeah.
And all you've got to do is look around the world at all these great cities. And there's a reason for being, because they all of those big cities, even like Mombasa, arose out of European culture. Just that.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. Okay, so John Banks.
He's an old geezer.
Don't take him too seriously? Or you think he should be listened to?
I think people should listen to him by all means. So it's probably worth people going and finding that podcast or whatever it is of Leighton Smith.
Yeah, it's the latest Leighton Smith podcast.
Have a listen.
Mm. I enjoyed it, actually. I enjoyed listening.
Mind you, you know, John Banks sounded as he would 30 or 40 years older than the last time I heard him. But he was, you know, he was. I thought he was good, yeah, good at what he did back in the olden days. But you know, he was reliving his glory days on that podcast. I think.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Do you think that Leighton Smith should ever have gone into politics? I kind of feel like he's missed his calling.
Why not? I mean, it's the same with Mike Hosking, you know. Mike Hosking is a little bit Hugh Grantish, if you know what I mean. He's a good looking guy. He has the right hairdo and all the rest of it.
Except for,
and he would be one of the most.
We'll cut out the Divine Brown, but
the Divine
apart
Brown.
Apart from Divine Brown. Well, Hugh Grant got caught in the car with Divine Brown, some black prostitute.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I've lost my way now.
Yeah, oh, well, I'm not surprised. Yeah, no, Hugh Grant was a naughty boy. He ended up, some call girl called Divine Brown, some black prostitute, and he ended up getting a blowjob in his BMW someplace in LA back in the 90s.
All right.
That's Hugh Grant for you.
A BJ in LA.
I don't know whether that was before or after Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Well,
I can't remember.
Well, that's the name of a movie. I thought you were talking.
Yeah, that
about
was probably the best movie he did. No, I liked him. I liked him up until all that Divine Brown crap, and then he lost it for me. A weak man, a weak human being.
Mm. But if we leap back to New Zealand politics,
yes,
the guy
right.
that
yeah.
I reckon,
well, it's not really politics,
the guy
is
that
it?
I reckon, no, the guy that I reckon should be running for the presidency of New Zealand
is Lee Donoghue.
Is who?
Lee Donoghue, the new ACT list MP.
No, the best informed man in New Zealand would be Mike Hosking.
Mike Hosking? He's just a... No, you put too much credence into radio people. All we do is we read up a few things online or in the newspapers, and then we pretend like we know it all. That's what Jack Tang was doing the other night when he was interrogating Winston Peters. Jack Tame knew a few things because he'd done some research and his handlers had given him some information. He didn't know anything. Winston Peters has forgotten more than Jack Tame knows, but Jack Tame was pretending he was an expert on things and he's not. That's what radio and TV people are not experts. All they do is they just do a little bit of research like half an hour before and they come out and pretend they know everything, and the listeners think they know everything. I can remember this when I was producer for Mark Bennett on The Breakfast Show at Classic Hits. I thought, yeah, you're knowledgeable. He didn't know anything. He used to just like, he told me, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I just, you know, I basically just, you know, just glean a bit of information from the newspapers and I pretend that I know what I'm talking about. But they don't know what they're talking about. There's very few intelligent people in this country.
Who knows what they're talking about?
No, the radio people. The radio and TV people don't know. They know stuff all. I think Winston Peters knows a hell of a lot about politics. He's a very good statesman. Don't trust him as far as I could chuck him, but I think he knows a heck of a lot about politics.
Well, look, I would say that Winston Peters knows plenty. And
how the world works.
He would know where a lot of the bodies are buried as well.
Yeah, probably.
But you know, but you know what I mean. You know, the bodies of political sort of ideas and stuff.
Oh,
I wouldn't trust him as far as I wouldn't trust him as far as I could.
Even
I think he's the most untrustworthy man.
But you know what? I trust him before I trust any of the others.
Oh, really? No, no.
I wouldn't trust. I wouldn't trust Seymour Luxon or Hipkins. I'd trust David. I would trust Winston Peters ahead of them, and I don't trust Winston Peters. I wouldn't trust him at all. I think he's really unsavory when it comes to trustworthiness. But I think he's got my trust more than the others. Mainstream.
Hasn't got mine. I have not forgotten that even though National got more votes, Winston Peters put his vote alongside Labour. So
that was
He supported Jacinda Ardern into politics, and so the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And right now, if you were to eat the Jacinda Ardern, you're going to have to put up with the fact that she is out there pushing for the United Nations to curb freedom of speech.
Yes, she is. Yeah, no, the bloody bitch.
That's the person.
And Winston Peters, he enabled her. So Winston Peters is trying to make out that he didn't know what was going on.
What was going on?
He plays dumb. But John Banks said that he made the wrong decision when he came out. He should have gone with National. He said if National was still in, Bill English would still be Prime Minister and Winston Peters would be Deputy.
Why would he have gone with Jacinda Ardern? I reckon he went with Jacinda Ardern out of spite.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. I don't think it was because he wanted to be Prime Minister. He knew that she was up the duff, you know, like preggers. And I don't think it was that stupid for 6 weeks of glory being Prime Minister, the first Maori Prime Minister. I don't think that was what it was. It was more than that. I think you're right. It was spite. That's my opinion, and that's your opinion too. You wouldn't be the first person to say that. He's got a long hatred for the National Party because they shafted him. Well, he feels they shafted him.
Oh, well, I think that he thought that he should be leading them. That's why.
Rob Muldoon.
He's basically a conservative.
Rob Muldoon always believed that Winston... Rob Muldoon loved Winston Peters. I felt that Rob Muldoon thought he was... Winston Peters was... is it a protege? Is that the right word?
Yep, protege.
Yeah. I felt that Rob Muldoon was nurturing Winston Peters to be the next Prime Minister, to be the first Maori Prime Minister we've ever had. He is a bloody good statesman, eh? You know, even though you think, you don't trust him.
Who's this?
Winston. He is bloody good.
Yes, he's good at what he does, but he's very untrustworthy. But, he irritates the hell out of me.
Does he?
He does, really. And it's because I've sort of watched him and watched what he's done. And I can't forgive him for appointing Jacinda.
I
remember.
He says that is bad.
Because the party with the smallest vote put them in power.
We shouldn't let them forget that. Yeah, that's right. The losers won, didn't they? The people, that I think National got 43%, was it? 40-something, mid to high 40s. Mm. And yet they lost because of Winston.
Yeah. So he's had an adverse effect on New Zealand politics that have lasted for a couple of generations.
Isn't it incredible that he's still coming back? It looks like he's going to form the next government.
He must be taking monkey glands.
Isn't it incredible that he could do that after all the shit, after him bringing in this bitch, this leftist bloody Fabian socialist, to run our country, to wreck our country?
But the vast majority of New Zealanders didn't think about Jacinda Ardern like that. They just saw this woman who was dressed in red and black most of the time with a very big smile.
The guys were cunt-struck and the women were just stupid, you know, just because she's a woman.
They're going to lean towards her because she's female. And they will. You know, they just will. That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
Women will like that.
Eh? Women are flipping nuts. Eh? They hang together. Very few women will actually come out. They will actually think rationally and say, "No, I, don't like it because she's a woman. I mean, tell you who is against that, and that is Kirstie Noem, South Carolina. I'm talking about the one from Hawaii. What's her name? You know, she said, "Oh, you should vote for, Clinton." You know, Hillary. She said, "No, I don't agree with her." And she said, "You know, you're reducing me to my genital parts. You know, that I should vote for her because she's a woman. That I should support her because mm-hmm. she's a woman. That's what I liked about her." What was her name? That one from
I don't know. I
California,
know you're
not California. Hawaii. You know the one.
But
she's,
you know,
she's gone independent now.
Yeah, no, I've seen her name a few times recently because of the last year. But no, it's American politics. I used to follow it more closely than I do
it's
now.
It's complicated now, isn't it?
I don't tend to follow politics very much until it gets close to the election. Mm. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been trying to figure out. You know, I'm not on the electoral roll where I am now. I've been trying to figure out how to get on it, and it's going to take a major effort for me to get signed up.
You can just turn up at the voting booth and just cast a special vote. That's all you do.
But you see, I'm on the roll down in Hawthorne, not up here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You just tell them that they'll look it up, and you can still vote. I've voted out out of area. You just turn up and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so John Banks, you don't have much credence in John Banks.
Well, look, I he's been a smart man in his day. I used to like him when he was out and about before. Mm. But I mean, I've had to watch myself getting old, and so I kind of know what it's like, and I know, you know, I don't think I'm anywhere near as sharp as what I used to be. And so the same goes. I felt the same about John Banks tonight.
Did you? I thought he was really sharp. Yeah. I must be dopey because I thought he was sharp.
But what he was doing was repeating old mantras.
Is it just the old talking points?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Really?
You know, he had them.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Well, you could be right.
Mm. And anyway, look, I've got to be honest and tell you. My memory is not what it used to be, and I stopped listening to it just before I called you, and by that time about half of what he had said had gone anyway. You know, because there was a few things and I thought, oh, I have a chat about that with Grant, you know, and blah blah blah, but you know, then you answer the phone and it was all gone, blank. It's because I've got an 82-year-old brain, and it just goes. My brain just goes, I don't want to do that.
Well, I wouldn't beat yourself up too much. So, on the whole, you were not impressed with John Banks with his interview with Leighton Smith, or you were impressed? Like, 9 out of 10, how did you think it went as far as...
Look, 9 out of 10, I thought it was a 6.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but I did actually think that what he was doing was reliving his glory days.
Okay.
And, you know, that's why Leighton Smith has decided to talk to him.
Do you think Leighton Smith is reliving his glory days?
You have to know why. So he resigned, did he? Retired, you said.
He'd had enough of radio. You know what I mean? He's had a heart attack. He's had a bit of a scare this year. And so he's enjoying the podcast. People love him. And he's done heaps of podcasts. He did the podcast for a hobby, and it's taken off. People love it. And
him and his wife do it together.
It's a fun thing to do. It's a hobby, and they love it.
But
they love
it. It's a familiar voice.
Yeah, and we love it. I love listening to him.
Yeah.
Mm. I've always loved listening to Leighton.
All right. Well, I used to at the time when he was on radio, but I've got to tell you that from the day that he left News Talk ZB, I haven't listened to him at all. Because you didn't know about podcasts, that's why. Oh, well, I kind of knew about podcasts, but I thought that podcasting people were sort of, you know...
You didn't think they were professional radio announcers?
I thought they were guys in a garage.
That's probably true, actually. But no, I know quite a few ex-radio people. There's a former news editor of a major radio station, and he said he can't wait to finish his contract later on this year and do some podcasts. And he wants to do some with me. He's really into he thinks podcasts are the way to go. And they probably are. Whereas me, I like radio. I like the urgency of radio, you know, like to me I like that. I don't really like I don't like pre-recording things. I like to do things live. You know, I like that's what I love. That's why I like radio, but others like to pre-record stuff. I'm hopeless pre-recording things. I'm like two different people. When I'm live, I'm totally different to when I am when I pre-record stuff.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I like to do things on the hop.
I've never listened to podcasts, I've got to say. But this is what I think about them. I think that they're probably one of the things of the future.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that's going to happen is there'll be a better way of a big holding pen for a whole lot of them.
Mm.
So that they're, you know, like a big website or something where they're easy to find, easy to follow, you know, categorized and all the rest of it so that people can find what they want.
That's important, categorization. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dennis Hall. I mention you often on my radio program about how you are one of New Zealand's most unsung heroes when it comes to art, one of the greatest sculptors the country's ever seen, and how the art foundation, would you call it? What's the art council? What do you call those people?
Art council.
Yeah, how they've shunned
you. You don't want to get me going on art. I've been right now. I mean, I made the biggest sculpture in New Zealand, Mr. Tekeweti Shearer.
Yeah.
I sat down with the Prime Minister on TV, Rob Muldoon, and made his portrait.
Unbelievable.
And the arts people managed to completely ignore me. I made the biggest painting in Wellington. That's in the Green Parrot Cafe in Wellington.
Yeah.
And you can find it easily on the net.
Yep.
And the arts people, the sort of arty farties, completely looked the other way.
The reason was
because they couldn't do the spectrum of art that I was able to do.
Because their mates' art was shit and yours was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
But that guy that did the lines the other day in that picture.
I know.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, thanks, Dennis.
You were busy signing me off, so okay.
Well, we'll talk to you again. Thank you very much. Dennis Hall, one of the New Zealand's greatest artists, unsung heroes, balloonist, proprietor of Orawarra, homestead station. You did the Levin Balloon Festival, didn't you? The Horrifinur Balloon Festival. That was you.
Yeah.
You settled that.
Yeah.
And you did that from scratch. You didn't even know how to fly a balloon when you started.
Oh no! Well, no. I did that after I did teach myself to fly a balloon.
I know you taught yourself. That's an incredible thing.
Well, I just had a big long rope and I tied it to the back of the car so I couldn't get away.
That's incredible. I love it.
And just went up and down. And it was a big balloon. It was a big commercial balloon because we bought it back from the US. And I knew so little about balloons that I'd bought a commercial balloon rather than a sport one. But anyway, tied it to the back of the Cadillac.
The other thing that amazes me is that when you went and did the sculpture of Rob Muldoon, you'd never done one before, and yet you didn't tell him that.
What I did was I took a little sculpture of Puck that I had done, Puck from, you know, that sort of little demon-y guy from Shakespeare, and I put it on his desk and I said, I want to do your... I want to do a portrait of you, you know, and I was confident I could do one. I'd never done one before. This is the thing that sort of surprises me about myself.
Yeah,
is it? But you know, I'd started doing sculpture, and I just found that I could do you know, I could make whatever I wanted to make. And I made some very big sculptures when I first started. And I'd step back and look at them and go, holy shit, look at that. And one of the things that I used to start doing is I bought some glass eyes, which I was putting in the clay sculptures.
Mm.
And so when I decided I could do a portrait with Muldoon, and I rang him up and asked him, he said yes. And we sat down in front of a television camera.
Yep.
And I made that portrait, and it's him all day long. And so
it looks real. And he was impressed with it. I felt when I watched the video, the TVNZ video of him looking at your bust that you did, the sculpture. He looked impressed.
That was the only portrait I ever did.
Shit! I mean, that's amazing. He never knew that. He thought you were like an old pro. You could tell. I thought you were an old pro.
That video is still floating around. It's on my Milton Smirk page, I think.
I don't know why. No, it's not. It's on the Homestead Tenancy.
All right. Mm. Well, good.
I don't know why you wasted your life driving taxis when you could have been one of the world's greatest sculptors living in Paris or Italy.
Yeah, but I didn't Florence. Know that at the time when I was driving cabs.
Shit, I wish you'd known me, because I would have told you, and I would have said, don't waste your time driving taxis, just get over there.
You know what, I really enjoy driving cabs.
I know, that's the trouble, that's the trap. You get involved in something, like I was getting involved with, you know, training friggin' harness horses, which is no money in whatsoever. It's just like, even if you've got winning horses, there's still no money in it, and I was involved in that because I love the whole idea of training harness horses and driving them, training them. But, you know, it's just a dead man walking. It's a waste of time. Whereas if you'd done your art, gone to Europe and set up...
Yeah, but I didn't. But at that point, I hadn't done any art for years and years and years.
Yeah, but you had the confidence.
You know, New Zealand, if you want to go to a place where you can't make any money out of art, you go to New Zealand.
Go to New Zealand. Well, you fooled the Prime Minister of New Zealand that you were the great artist. He was convinced by you, and so he should have been, and you were. There was no way that he was not convinced that you were a really good artist. You were so confident. And you ask
me. Yeah, but really, I just showed him some pictures and I gave him a little sculpture.
Yeah, and you interviewed him better than any television or radio presenter has ever interviewed him. It's the best interview he's ever done. Television New Zealand wouldn't show it because they knew that he would win the election based on your interview. He would have won the 1984 election.
Right. And you know what? They told me that. They
yes. Can't, yes. Can't and show that's the election interference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. Election interference.
That's what they said out there at Avalon. They said,
Leftist bastards. Yeah. No, Rob Muldoon could have been Prime Minister again in 1984, and we could have saved ourselves from the Fabian socialist takeover, because it was and John Banks said something, Fabian socialism, he's right about that. That's what's been running this country. Labour and National are Fabian socialists. And that's deadly.
I think that the National are a bunch of socialists. Yeah.
They
don't know any better.
Yeah.
We don't know
and
any better.
Did you see how John Banks was praising the actor guy, what's his name? Seymour?
David Seymour,
I think he's a deceptive little shit. He's like a little fox. To me, he's like one of those little, you know, like a ferret. What do they call it? What's that nasty ferret? There's another one that's like a ferret. It's not quite a ferret. Something a bit like a ferret. You know, they're deadly. They eat the eggs in the chicken house.
It is a bit ferret-like.
Yeah, they eat the eggs in the chicken house. What are those ones called?
Mm.
Ferrets and...
Stoats.
Stoat, yeah, little bastards.
Ferrets and stoats.
Yeah. Mm. And I think Winston Peters would be more trustworthy than a stoat in New Zealand, in the other guys. I don't see Winston Peters as a stoat or a ferret. I think he's actually a bit naive. I think he's naive. I don't think he realised the globalists were taking over our country. I think he was a bit naive.
Who's taking over the country?
Well, the globalists have taken control of New Zealand. They've taken control of the whole West. I don't think, I mean, I'm not sure whether you actually understand that, but I don't think Winston Peters could see that. But I think he does see it now, but he's not prepared to come out and say it, because to say it, they'll the media will label him as a conspiracy theorist. So he doesn't say those words. He doesn't say globalist. Yeah. Whereas Liz Gunn, what I like about Liz Gunn, she comes straight out and she says the globalists. She names them.
Liz Gunn will get her turn, I reckon.
Do you think so? What, in 2026?
Oh, no, I don't know when. But she'll get her turn.
But they made a cock up. They made a massive cock up, and they've only got 3 members because there was some sort of a cock up with the, you know, getting the people in. So there's only 3, and as a result, a lot of people are not voting for New Zealand First, which is a shame. A lot of people are saying we'll vote for Liz in the next election, and it's a bit presumptuous for her to think that she can just come in, you know, like, you know, 8 weeks out.
People desperately want to change the government.
Yeah, definitely.
They don't want to vote for anything that's not going to bring about a change of government.
But do you think that National would do anything different? Like, over the COVID thing, you know, with the lockdowns and, you know, forcing people to get vaccinated and all that shit, do you think National would have been better, worse, or the same?
Than Labor?
Yeah.
I think that they would have been better because, generally speaking, they believe more in human rights and they believe more in personal freedoms than what Labour ever will.
Individual rights.
You know, Labour's a left-wing government. They absolutely do. And proof of that is in the pudding, is in Jacinda Ardern wanting to... She wants the United Nations to bring out legislation that hinders people's freedom of speech all over the world. The woman is the greatest ratbag New Zealand ever produced.
Do you think that people like Jacinda Ardern
are being... People need to go back and have a look.
Do you think that the people like Jacinda Ardern are being paid by international, you know, foreign powers, like the World Economic Forum? Do you think, that they're being paid...
You have to believe it. She has to...
I
don't know. I haven't stopped to think about that. But I do think that she is a rabid communist. Rabbit.
Yeah, but they've got to be in it for the money, though, eh? Communists are in it for the money. No one does anything without money.
Yeah, but all the other politicians are the same.
Yeah, but they don't do it for love. They do it because they've been paid to do it, hey?
But, you know, I don't know. I was kind of surprised, because I saw a thing about Jacinda Ardern in the last 24 hours. And because I'm old and doddery, I can't remember exactly where I saw it.
I think you beat yourself up a bit about being old and doddery.
Well, you know, I mean, I can feel that my memory is not what it was. I absolutely can feel that. It's unavoidable. But the fact that she's so anti-free speech is astonishing to me.
It is astonishing.
And you know...
And how she spins like it's misinformation, disinformation. And all it is just free speech. But she likes to call it disinformation.
Free speech contains disinformation.
Mm. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it's bullshit. Jacinda Ardern's going to go down in history as being the evilest person that ever came out of New Zealand.
She's up there with Hitler, She's up there with Hitler, really, if you think about it.
Oh, well, I don't know. She's probably not jailing Jews yet, but, you know.
Well, give her a chance. Give her half a chance. Well, what it'll be with Jacinda, if she is actually, a woman called Vera Sharav, she said that that in 1938 or whatever it was, the Jews, might have been earlier than that, it was the Jews that were, you know, that were the target. And she said in 2020 it was the people that didn't want to get vaccinated. And Jacinda Ardern was like Hitler against the people that didn't want to get vaccinated.
We're seeing charge then. I can't remember.
Well, yes, she was. And you know what? I just had a conversation with that lawyer Liz Lambert this morning, and she told me, well, yesterday morning, and she told me that 11,000 people in the medical in medicine applied for an exemption for the vaccine. 11,000 in health alone. That was according to an Official Information Act request.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, that means that the people in the health realised that it was dangerous to be vaccinated, and they didn't want to be a part of it, and they actually were approved exemptions from being vaccinated in health. And yet that wasn't what the media were telling us. They said everybody in health had to be vaccinated.
Yes, that's absolutely what they said.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, very good, Dennis. Mm. It's been good talking to you. You're a very nice,
good person. Good to talk to you.
You're a very nice man.
And so are you, Grant. It's lovely, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. All right, well, might talk to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care, mate.
Well, Lord willing, we'll speak again.
We will, yeah, okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.